Sitting in everyone's heart is the Paramatma. Being thus able to get all instructions from him, he gave up all other practices of yoga and dhyana. He was not even interested in the perfection of the yoga and dhyana systems, for he thoroughly realized that devotional service of Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, and that unless the yogis and dhyanis become attracted to Krishna Katha, their illusions concerning existence could never be dispelled. Therefore, as long as one is too absorbed in the bodily perception of life, he becomes interested in many different processes of self-realization, such as the yoga system, or the system utilized in speculative empiric methods. However, when one understands that the ultimate goal of life is to approach Krishna, he realizes Krishna within everyone's heart, and therefore helps everyone who is interested in Krishna consciousness. Actually, the perfection of life depends on one's inclination to hear about Krishna. It is therefore mentioned in this verse, Yava Garagraja Katasu Latina Purya. Unless one becomes interested in Krishna in his pastimes and activities, there's no question of liberation by means of yoga practice or speculative knowledge. Having attained to the stage of devotion, Maharaj Krita became uninterested in the practices of jnana and yoga and abandoned them. This is the stage of pure devotional life, as described by Guru Goswami. Kanya Vilashara Sunyam Janakara Jalabrata Manakalina Krishna Sivana Bhaktirutama. Real jnana means understanding that the living entity is the eternal servant of the Lord. This knowledge is attained after many, many births, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam Jamanam Ante Jnanamam Pajate. In the Paramahamsa stage of life, one fully realizes Krishna as everything, Vasudeva Saramiti Samahatma Sudhurava, and one understands fully that Krishna is everything and that Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection of life, he becomes a Paramahamsa or a Mahatma. As a Mahatma or Paramahamsa is very, very fine. A Paramahamsa or pure devotee is never attracted by Hatha Yoga or speculative knowledge. He is simply interested in Navaloya. Devotional service of the Lord. Sometimes one who was formerly addicted to these processes tries to perform devotional service and began yoga practices at the same time. But as soon as one comes to the unalloyed stage of devotional service, he's able to give up all of the methods of self-realization. In other words, when one firmly realizes Krishna as the Supreme Lord, he's no longer attracted by mystic yoga practice or speculative empirical methods of knowledge. Translation, he became completely free from the conception of bodily life. Maharaj Prithu realized Lord Krishna's kingdom in the times of Paramatma. Being thus able to get all instructions from him, he gave up all the practices of yoga and jnana. He was not even interested in the perfection of the yoga and jnana systems, for he thoroughly realized that devotional service of Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, and that unless the yogis and jnanis become attracted to Krishna Katha, and their illusions concerning existence never be dispelled. So here again we see that in spite of the descriptions given of how he practiced yoga and was detached and everything with varnashram rules and vanaprastha life, ultimately he gave up everything else. So it says here, chinnanda di, which means he was completely free of other objects of concentration. He did not think of anything else. So he did not think of karma or jnana or yoga. He only thought of bhakti and the Supreme Lord. So all other thoughts disappeared, thoughts of other processes or other worship or other goals all disappeared at this time as the perfection of his sadhana, even though it was mentioned that he did these other sadhanas. He reached the position where he gave them all up. So if one takes the gradual process that he followed, doing karma yoga, and then astanga and jnana yoga, and then finally bhakti yoga, even then the result is you give up the other processes. So if you're doing karma yoga, then you do jnana yoga, then you give up the karma yoga and you do the jnana. And if you do the astanga yoga, you give up the jnana and the karma yoga. And if you do bhakti yoga, then you give up all the other processes. So that also indicates that ultimately one should come to the level of bhakti and not be influenced by these other processes. So one should not mix them, even if one has practiced these other processes previously. So that is why Prabhupada is quoted in the purport, the definition of uttama bhakti. There is no mixture at all. So that is the ideal. After practicing all these other things, come to bhakti, and then simply concentrate on the Supreme Lord in devotion. In this way he understood the actual, because of his concentration on bhakti, then he had some realization of the Supreme Lord. Consequently, there was no desire for cultivating anything else. If one has a higher taste, one gives up a lower taste. So it is mentioned in the Nectar Devotion there, one comes to the stage of bhava. The symptom of bhava is, he has no interest in liberation. Why? Because he has a realization of the Lord. And the realization of the Lord is much greater. The bliss is much greater than the bliss of Brahman. So he has a higher taste. So therefore, automatically, he has no interest in the other processes like jnana, etc. So So, but because of realization through bhakti, then he had no interest in jnana or yoga or karma at all. He gave up all these other processes completely. And it also mentions here that these other processes, yoga and jnana, if these people don't have any attraction for topics of the Lord, then they actually have no success at all. They cannot attain the goal unless they do have attraction for the topics of Krishna. Which means that two things. One, if they don't develop an attraction for the topics of the Lord, they can't get to Bhakti Yoga, which is the highest level. The second is that if they don't have some bhakti in cultivating yoga or jnana, they cannot even get liberation. In other words, they can never think offensively of the Supreme Lord and say he has a material body or is a material entity, ultimately useless, etc. They must also take the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and it's by his mercy that they get liberation. So even though they're mainly interested in liberation, nevertheless, they cannot disrespect the Lord in any way. So even for liberation, they have to have some attraction for the Supreme Lord. However, this of course is a lower process. One would think that if they did have some attraction for the Lord, that would increase and increase, and their attraction for liberation would decrease. So that is what is to be expected. So that is why we have this progression from jnana and yoga to bhakti. Hopefully by that mixture they will become attracted. Unfortunately, they don't. It says in the Bhagavatam that the yogis, unfortunately, they concentrate on Paramatma, and they have some attraction for him at one point, but then they give up that attraction, and they have a preference for liberation. So their misfortune is that they give up their attraction for the Lord, or whatever vision they've had of the Lord, and they concentrate on that liberation. And the Lord gives it to them. So that is the unfortunate yogi. So the fortunate person should actually progress to bhakti after he is engaged in yoga and jnana and become detached from the material world. This, of course, will only arise because of good association. If the yogi and the jnani do contact devotees, then they're assured of a higher level. If they've been doing some bhakti, then that bhakti can increase and increase through the association of devotees, and they can attain a very high level of bhakti. And if they don't, and they associate more with jnanis and yogis who are interested in liberation, then they'll be influenced by that. And they'll prefer that, in spite of the fact that they do have some respect for the Lord. So in this way, there is some risk involved in that gradual process. And unless one gets that association, there's no guarantee that one will progress beyond that point. So that, of course, is even with karma. People who indulge in karma yoga, then they progress upwards and they think that this is the process, so they stop there and they don't go any further. So unless they get some good knowledge from someone else, they won't go on to jnana, yoga, and bhakti. So all along the pathway and these different processes, unless there is proper association, the people will get stuck and they won't progress to the next level. So that is the danger in this gradual process. And this is predicted through Kali Yuga because people are lazier, and therefore it takes them great effort to do one process. So they get stuck in karma yoga because of the effort in doing that, and then they don't want to go any further. They think, oh, let's do this, and that's what scripture says, so let's do this, finish. So, but we see in Bhagavad Gita that and in the Bhagavatam, that these are processes one after the other. And this is illustrated by Prithu. He did all the processes one after the other, Karma Yoga, Jnana, and Sangha Yoga. Then he did Bhakti Yoga. And then he gave up everything else. So that is the proper process. But unfortunately, that does not work in Kali Yuga. So that is why this gradual process is not recommended, and Krishna says simply do bhakti. Now the argument against that is, oh, people are not qualified for bhakti. Because the qualification is faith. But of course, we know that even without faith, one can participate. So Ajameel didn't have any faith, and he chanted the name of Narayan, and then gradually, through the association of the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas, then he heard the conversation, then he got bhakti. So even without faith, there is some effect of the name of Krishna. Of course, other processes also work like this, but particularly the name of the Lord, and particularly Krishna's name, is powerful to help the people in spite of the fact they don't have any bhakti. So, nevertheless, faith is a qualification for serious bhakti. Accidental bhakti is one thing, but then serious bhakti, then one has to have faith. But the power of the name is such that it can do that also. So, that's particularly Krishna's name. So, Shishupala was enemy of the Lord. But he heard the name of the Lord. So he didn't hear it with devotion, he heard it with offense. But because of the power of the name, hearing it constantly, even in hatred, it destroyed his karmas, it destroyed his bad tendencies. That was the power of it. So that eventually everything was gone. All the bad influences were gone, his karma was gone, everything was gone, and he was purified. And then the Lord gave him prema. So, therefore, the name has great effect and for the name of Krishna, more than the name of Rama or Shrimadeva or anybody else. So that is why in our particular Kali Yuga we are blessed with the name of Krishna. So this can help people, all the people of the material world, even the demons. So one can come to this stage from the negative stage to the positive stage by exposure to the name. And then one has developed faith. And with faith, then one can begin serious practice. So that is the prescription given for Kali Yuga. Don't go through the gradual processes, Karma Yoga, Jnana, and Sangha Yoga, but just do Bhakti Yoga. And from the beginning, just do Bhakti and progress upwards. So it takes care of all the other, it covers all the other processes automatically. So whatever advantages there are in Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Sangha Yoga, are there in Bhakti Yoga also. Plus, the goals are there, or the results are there, plus, higher than that, of course, is that we develop love of Krishna. So, this gives us direct access to that goal. The other processes don't. You just get karma, and then you get sattva, and then you get up to liberation, destruction of karmas, etc. But you don't get the highest goal. So bhakti directly is the highest goal without going through the other processes. So therefore it's considered the way to practice the Kali Yuga. No, and you can practice Karma Yoga along with Jnana. In fact, if you waver in Jnana, then you go back to Karma Yoga and do that again to become steady again. No, they're not practicing anyway. Really, with dedication, they don't. Yeah, only to show that these are authorized in the scriptures as processes, though we don't follow them. This is in Bhagavad Gita, the same thing is there. that they are part of the Vedic process, but not currently for Kali Yuga, that's all.
Kumar, every soul has faith, but the faith may not be in Krishna, but in something else. How does this faith transfer into faith in Krishna?
Association with the devotees.
But you mean they don't have faith in Krishna at all, how they can have association with devotees?
Accidental association. I get it. From association and devotees generally. Just as Sukadev developed an attraction by the, through the disciples of Vyasadeva.
When you go for preaching, you find that not many people have that attraction. Though they have a chance to meet them, talk about this brother. They are not really having faith or attraction.
You can look for Sharma.
No, the soul practicing devotional life, but not good enough to be transferred to the spiritual brother. Not good enough to be transferred to the spiritual brother. But between transmutation from one brother body to another body, in a certain state, does he have an opportunity to chant and hear?
It's not mentioned really what happens in that state. But the thing is that the person does not in any way lose his propensity for bhakti in going from one life to the next. So it's always there. So in the subtle body also is there. It doesn't disappear.
Thank you. மாத்திக்கு அந்த மாலை அந்த நெட்டில் கொடுத்துக்க முடியுமா பாரு, அந்த மாலை பாவம் சொல்லிட்டு போ, அந்த பக்கம் வாங்க நாங்கள் நிற்கிறேன். ரெண்டு நிமிஷம் அந்த மெயினாக தான் சொன்னார், ஃபெய்த்து தானே, ஃபெய்த்து வந்துட்டு எதனால் வருதுன்னா ஆக்சிடென்டல் அசோசியேஷனால் வருதுங்கிறாருல்ல, அசோசியேஷனாலன்னு சொன்னார். ஃபெய்த்து இல்லாமல் எப்படி அவன்
ஃபெய்த்துனா எல்லாருக்குமே கொஞ்சம் இருக்கும், ஆனால் அந்த அட்ராக்ஷன் வந்து கிருஷ்ணா கிட்ட இல்லாமல் வேற எங்கெங்கே ஃபெய்த்து போயிடுச்சுன்னா அந்த பர்சனுக்கு எப்படி கிருஷ்ணா எது மேலே வேணால் ஃபெய்த்து வரலாம், பட் ஹவு த ஃபெய்த் வில் கோ டு கிருஷ்ணா, கிருஷ்ணா கிட்ட வரும் கேட்டு மாறாக என்ன சொன்னாங்க, அசோசியேஷன் ஆஃப் டிவோட்டிஸ் அப்போ சுத்தமாகவே அடுத்த அவர் ஒருத்தருக்கு சுத்தமாகவே அட்ராக்ஷன் இல்லை, கிருஷ்ணா கிட்ட அட்ராக்ஷன் இல்லை, அது எப்படி தான் வரும் எப்போ வரும் கேட்டால்
ஆக்சிடென்டல்
அது நினச்சி பிரித்தி அப்படின்னு.
ஸோ ஃபுல் கிளாஸுமே ஃபெய்த்தை பேஸ் பண்ணி தானே சொன்னது, அப்போ நிச்சயமாக மிச்சம் இதுவும் கூட ஃபெய்த்தில் தானே முடிஞ்சது, அந்த பக்தி அந்த மிச்ச யோகாசனம் ப்ராக்டிஸ் பண்ணிவிட்டு பக்தி யோகம் வரது கூட டைரெக்டாக பக்தி யோகம் பண்ணிக்கணும்னு சொல்கிறார். அவ்வளோதான் இன்னைக்கு சப்ஜெக்டு
சொன்னார்.
மர்சி ஆஃப் த லார்டு எந்திரிச்சா பேர் இன்னைக்கு கிளாஸில் மர்சி ஆஃப் த லார்டு ஒன்று சொன்னார்ல, அது எந்த கண்டெஸ்ட்ல சொன்னார்,
நம்பர் ஒன் நம்பர் டூ அப்புறம் தேர்ட் வந்து நம்பர் த்ரீ வந்து மர்சி ஆஃப் த லார்ட் இஸ் அப்படின்னு சொல்லி
Thank you. నిజమే మనకు మనకు వచ్చి కృష్ణ వచ్చి మన ఎక్కడ దోవదారి పోకుండా దారి పెడతారు అక్కడ. ఇది ఇది లేదంటే నేనంతా ఏమవుతుంది సర్వీస్ లేదు. ఇలా కృష్ణని పాదుగాపు కృష్ణుడు కలిసేదానికి
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. சொல்லி சொல்லி மாட்டா கேட்கிறாரு. சரி நீர் காய்கறி இருக்கீங்க அதை போன மாட்டேன் மாதிரி காய்கறி இருக்கு
Thank you. இருக்கும்.